Our lesson comes from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And they told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east, and pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. And then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. And as soon as you find him, send word, and I'll come join you at once in your worship." Well, instructed by the king, they set off. And then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. And it led them on until it hovered over the place of the child, and they could hardly believe themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house. They saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. And overcome, they kneeled and they worshiped him. And then they opened their baggage and they presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod, so they worked out another route, and they left the territory without being seen and returned to their own country. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Does it seem a little funny to still be talking about Christmas these 2 weeks after? I noticed so many people this year who seemed so glad that Christmas was finally over. They seemed overwhelmed with all of the stuff, all the preparation, all the things, and I don't think I've ever seen a year where I've seen Christmas trees set out to the curb so quickly after Christmas. Kind of reminded me a little bit of a story that I heard about these two women who were having lunch in a very elegant restaurant. And they were enjoying themselves and laughing, and a friend came up and said, "What's the occasion? What's going on?" And one of the women said, "Well, we're celebrating the birth of my new little baby boy." And the friend said, "Oh, well, where is he?" And the woman looked at her like she was crazy and said, "Well, you don't think I'd bring him here, do you?" Well, it's kind of like we almost feel that Jesus is an imposition at times. We like the partying and the celebration, but we're sometimes less comfortable with what it all means. And certainly that was part of the situation back around the time of Jesus' birth. On the one hand, years and years, they had heard the prophecy that a Savior would be born, a Messiah would be coming. And so on the surface, everyone celebrated and rejoiced and was looking forward to it with great enthusiasm. And yet the funny thing is that those in charge, the leaders, the priests, King Herod himself, were actually scared to death when the news came out that the Messiah was actually arriving. All of a sudden, things were very different. It's always easy to believe in something that's hypothetical, right? But a lot of times when things really happen and you have to deal with what that means, it can be incredibly scary. So fear was one of the things that were part of the mix in that early day. And then there were the wise men, the scholars. There's a lot of talk about who they really were, but it was thought that they were perhaps astrologers, knowledgeable about different areas, also probably quite wealthy. Now, no one can really know what it was that led them to actually follow that star. Maybe it was curiosity. But they brought with them some very significant gifts. Gifts that might not mean a lot to us, but were very symbolic in that time and in that place. The first one, as the scripture says, is gold. They brought treasure boxes of gold. And gold was something that represented, it was the king of all the metals. And if you were to go see a king, you didn't go without bringing gold. So that gift of gold was a recognition of the fact that Jesus was expected as the Lord and King. Now the second one and the third one we're probably a little less familiar with. Frankincense was a gum resin that was used as incense, and it was used a lot in terms of worship, much as the Catholic Church still uses incense. And so this was in recognition of the fact that Jesus came also as a priest and of his service in that way. The third gift, myrrh, also had great significance, because in that ancient world, it was used as something to embalm the bodies of those who had died. It was a symbol of suffering, and it was a wise, symbolic gesture recognizing the suffering that Jesus would go through as our Savior, and foretold that suffering. Three very different gifts in the context of today. That was likely how the gift-giving process started at Christmas, but a little bit different from the kinds of gifts that we give, yes? Have you ever given frankincense or myrrh to anyone? No. A very different understanding. Gifts. We were talking about gifts on Christmas Day. Those of you who were with us remember that day. And we invited you to think about Christmas in a little bit different way. We invited you to think about not just the day of birth, not just that happy celebration, but your relationship with Jesus. What Jesus means in your life, personally, and how you might, in this new year, choose to experience your faith in a new way. We invited you to think about what would it be like if Jesus were sitting next to you, even now, and it was his birthday, and you wanted to give him a gift. And the question was, what do you think Jesus would want from you? And we had some wonderful, wonderful responses this year, and I want to share some of them with you. Can't share all of them, there were many, but do want to share some. One of the ones that came up, explained in different ways, but a common theme, was to be more tolerant of others. And I think that's a wonderful gift, because one of the saddest things right now is seeing how Christians can be so adversarial, and how often things that where we mean well and think that we're taking a stand actually are judgmental of others. Another was to be patient with others. Someone said, I will show my love by being patient and understanding. Another said, being thankful for good and bad things, leading back to a need for prayer and thanksgiving. I like that one because it recognizes the fact that even the things that are difficult and hard, if they point us back to our need for Jesus, is a blessing. Our needing Jesus, sometimes we may think of as a weakness in the context of this world, but one of the most liberating things in our lives can be an awareness and a recognition that we are weak. We are weak. And we need Jesus. Every single one of us. And it's from Jesus that we find whatever real strength, genuine strength, we will ever know. So this is lovely to recognize our need for prayer and how the challenges can direct us to that. Another asks that Jesus keep us together forever. Another again, to be less judgmental and more tolerant. Someone else, spread your word and praise you as much as I can. Someone else wants to give through their actions to let people know how much I trust and believe in you. And that's important because you know what? All of our actions, whatever they may be, are saying something about our faith or our lack of faith. Everything that we do either draws people closer to Jesus or separates them. My hope is that we draw them closer by our actions. Another wants to work to help others. Another says they want to give their respect, love, and they want courage to follow Jesus in all ways. Another wants to give love to my fellow man, especially those who have less than I. May God lead me in my efforts and put me where I am needed most. Another wants to give complete honesty. Another wants to try to get to church more. My hope is that as you gather here on Sundays, that it helps to draw you closer to Christ and to feel his presence more strongly. Another wants to share their most precious gifts, their children. This one wrote, who better to love and protect them? Thank you, Jesus. Another wants to pray more and to be more forgiving. And another to help and love my fellow men as you would have wanted me to. Another said, I'll strive to be worthy to walk in your light. And another says, my time. Another, acceptance of all God's people. And finally, my heart, my soul, my life. My friends, I pray that every day that Christmas be real to you, not in the sense of the world, but a reminder of Jesus' ultimate gift to us in giving his life. And there is no way that we can ever really give back. There is no way that any gift that we have can match what he's given us. But it is a blessing when we are connected in that way. When there is nothing more important in our lives than to devote them to him. There is nothing that is more joy-filling and fulfilling than continually looking for ways to give to our Lord, to use our lives in service to him, to follow him, to be faithful to him. It's one of those things where the gift keeps exchanging. And the more that we are giving in that way, the more that we're blessed. In a moment, we'll be coming to the table. And we'll be looking and remembering the other end of Jesus' life. That sacrificial gift. And as you come forward, I pray that your spirit will be fed in a new way. And I invite those who wish If you only just had a chance to fill out one of the sheets, you're welcome. We have a basket of them up here. You can bring that with you as well. But my prayer is that this year, you'll go deep in your faith. And that you'll know Jesus in a way beyond anything you've ever imagined or ever known before. May the gifts keep coming. Let us pray. Almighty God, you've given us a gift beyond all imagining, a gift greater than anything we could ever hope for. Let us not waste it, Lord. Let us claim it, and let us share it, and let us live it. In your name we pray. Amen.